Welcome to Radio Curious. I'm Barry Vogel. Do we need supplements to our diet? Does a normal balanced diet of food supply us with adequate nutrition? Our guest in this edition of Radio Curious argues that the dietary supplement industry is confusing and misinformed. Encouraging consumers to purchase and eat supplements we don't need. Bryant R. Clement is the author of Supplements Exposed, The Truth They Don't Want Us to Know About Vitamins, Minerals, and Their Effect on Your Health. His book examines the dietary supplement industry, what so-called natural supplements, from his perspective, really contain, and how they can affect our health for better or worse. I spoke with Bryant Clement by phone while he was on an excursion in Mexico on November 9, 2009, and began by asking him about the drive to promote the supplement industry. Bryant Clement, welcome to Radio Curious.
Hi, how are you today?
We're doing well, and I want to know about supplements. The sense I get from your book is that you feel that there is probably some corporate economic direction that is trying to market supplements that makes money for them and doesn't do much good for the people who eat it. Am I right?
Well, you certainly hit it right over the head. Brace yourself. It's another American fraud.
All right. Why is it a fraud?
Well, let's go back and give you a little bit about the history of supplementation. It's a relatively new industry on the scene, and it only began with a young researcher, Fletcher, in London, England in 1905 when he identified a B vitamin. And that was the first time we'd ever looked at an element within food and related it to human health. And he found that on the side of brown rice. And in effect, he found a way to heal beriberi, which was a B deficiency. Now, that was where it began 104 years ago. Then as time passed in the early part of the 20th century, one after another, isolated and found what we presently call the full spectrum of nutrients that humans need. But let's not get excited and realize that we still are on that quest, that research scientists and people like myself who've worked in this field of nutritional science for 40 years, are always open to finding new elements and new ways that food are helpful to us.
Let's stop here for a second, if we can, and go back to the full spectrum of the elements that humans need. I think that if we go back, let's say 15,000 years in our history, the history of our species, we lived in isolated areas throughout the world, and those who survived best on the food that was available to them where they lived. Now that we've traveled and interbred, if you will, that's changed. You agree?
Well, it's radically changed. And remember, for the majority of time that humans have been on this earth, we were nomadic, moving from place to place, following the sun, not for holidays, but for food. And instinctually and inherently, the human body understands what it needs until recent years when we became, quote, and with big quotes, civilized. And that's where they realized in the corporate interest, in those days it wasn't called corporate, it was big business, that they had to get us off our farms. 100, 150 years ago, 90% of the population or more were agrarian. We were farmers. And so they had to get us into their factories and into their offices. So they had to create foods that were packaged and foods that literally had nothing to do with the farm or the earth anymore. And even in the 20th century, made it term fast foods. So with all of that happening, we estranged ourselves from our inherent needs in nature that we instinctually know what to do to begin with. Now, most humans today instinctually think that they like, you know, fast food, instinctually think they like, you know, chemicalized ice cream. But that's not instinct. That's training, habit, and marketing. And the same thing happened. By the 1930s, they realized that this was a mega money maker. And today, in the United States alone, it's $22 billion business, the supplement industry. And who were they? The pharmaceutical industry. Places like Roche were the very first people to put this all into place, and they synthesized the very first supplementation, meaning the chemically made, by the 1930s. And 92% of all supplements on the market here in this country and worldwide are currently chemicals made in laboratories or in factories with chemistry. Now, most people do not know this because they slap the word natural on the side of it. Now, listen to these legislative rules that came about. The lobbyists from these pharmaceutical industry, well before most of you were born, went in and said, look it, we want to say natural, but do we really have to put natural elements in there? And they let them off the hook, and they said, if you have 10% of natural elements in there, plants, et cetera, 90% of it can literally be chemical, and you can still call it natural. Even worse than that, with the upturn in organic consumption, to call a supplement organic today, it only has to have one hydrogen atom in it. Now think about this. And these are outright frauds. Again, most of you, when you read supplements, think it's good, wonderful people picking, you know, grapes up in the hills of Northern California or somewhere, you know, in some pristine environment. And what it is factories producing this. Dear brothers and sisters, let's come back together for the earth. Well, what it is dear big business giving you another screw job. And the truth of the matter is, all of that's political. Now let's get to the real problem I have as a doctor of nutritional science, because I've been looking at this for four decades. In my case, with about 175,000 people, and I just got fed up. And so I wrote the book, Supplements Exposed, to allow people to know what's happening. Now, in your body, you have something that nature put there that's your best friend. By the way, it's a lot smarter than your brain. It's called the immune system. The immune system doesn't believe what it reads, doesn't believe marketing or commercials on television or radio spots. What it believes, literally, is what it should be doing. And what it was put there to be, to begin with, is the preventer of microbial problems, virus, bacterial problems, as time went on, mutagenic problems, which we today call cancer, and molds and fungus, et cetera. So it was really the front line of defense for you, this immune system, which is a gathering of cells that literally prevent those microbes and mutagens from festering and becoming overwhelming and killing you. So it's your immune system that saves you all of the time. Now, what happens when you go out and you've just read Dr. Schmuhke's latest research study funded by Big Schnutzer, and it says that vitamin Z, now as of now we don't have a vitamin Z, but let's tell a story. Vitamin Z not only is the best thing in the world to make you live longer, but it makes you sexy, and it also gives you some great muscle strength. Well, as sure as I'm sitting here, everyone that reads that article believes Dr. Mishkutsky and goes out to their local health store, to the minimum wage employee.
Well, which doctor is that, Brian?
Mishkutsky, of course. And goes out to the minimum wage employee at your local health store who, thank goodness in this case, read the same article and says, well, yes, if you take vitamin Z, basically Dr. Mishkutsky says if you take 1,000 milligrams, it's going to make you super sexy. And he says at the health store, well, why don't you take 3,000? You'll be quadruple 60. So that's how this all works, and people don't realize. Now, I'm not saying no supplements. On the other hand, let's turn the page. In our high-stress, high-speed world, where we have iPods in our ears and BlackBerries on our belts and, you know, laptop computers on our genitalia, the bottom line is we are going at a high speed and using our brain like no other humans did in the history of humanity. And by the way, the information age is making it so we get thousands and thousands, and this is literal, by the way, thousands of times more input to the brain than we ever did one generation ago. So with that said, we need nutrition.
Well, wait just a second. You're making a quantum leap there. Because we are having more input into our brain, we therefore need nutrition. Help me understand that.
Oh, yes. People don't realize that the brain uses far more energy than the body. If you give me the top Olympic athlete in the world who wins 10 gold medals, I'll show you that they use 4 to 7 times more brain power for energy than they do body power. The brain never shuts off. The problem we have with the human brain is we're just starting to learn about it. So all of us who were trained in medical school about the brain, everything we were taught was wrong and backward. By the month, we have revelations about the brain. Here's one thing we have learned because of the advent of magnetic resonant imageries, MRIs, that the average person uses 3 or 4% of our brain. So now let yourself off the hook, because when we get up some days and we don't know who the heck we are, now you see why. So what does that really mean? That means that 97 or 96% of our brain is being used, but we're not conscious enough to know what's going on in that part of our brain. See, the problem we have as human beings, we think that consciousness is outside of us. It's inside of us. Everything that there is to know and ever is to know is present. And it's just our ability to release ourselves, relax enough to understand those things. Going back, just because we use 3 or 4% doesn't mean the other 96 or 97% isn't active. So you're burning energy out 24 hours a day. You never shut off. That's what those wild dreams are at night. And, of course, this burns out minerals and amino acids. And so we need more energy today than they did a century ago and certainly millennia ago when people pretty much were relaxed. The only thing they had to worry about is natural foes. You know, the mountain lion that was coming on the hike after them and that type of thing. We worry about bombs going off in some part of the world or terrorists at the airport. Or we have, you know, round the clock, 850 channels at our fingertip that we can put on. And if we're not stressed enough in our life, we find out what's going on to be more stressed. So that really does a number on you. So, yes, we do need nutrition today. And, yes, there are 8% of integrity-rich nutrients at the health stores, the better ones, called whole food supplementation. Now, why this has never become popular, now it's a money thing again, let's go back to the politics of this and the economics, is that when you make a chemical like ascorbic acid, vitamin C, 98% of all the vitamin C on the market is a chemical called ascorbic acid. It is 1/8 of whole food vitamin C. The picture I'll give you is if, for instance, I gave you an orange and you threw away the orange and ate the skin. That's what it's like taking, you know, ascorbic acid. Now, again, you put it in the body, the immune system completely goes nuts and attacks it. Now, if it's over there getting rid of this whole food, I mean, this chemical vitamin C, because it's not whole food, what it's not doing is preventing viruses, bacteria, mutagens, cancers, etc. And we see this. I mean, I direct an institute that's renowned internationally for over half a century. We've been seeing catastrophically ill people that were given up by the field of mainstream Western medicine recover because we start to give them nutrients. So, yes, you can go get whole food nutrients, but they make 20 to 30 times less money, 20 to 30 times less money with a whole food supplement than they do with a chemical. Because once I have the formula for ascorbic acid, I can send it anywhere in the world, get a chemical factory that makes it out of petrochemical oil to mimic that and produce it and produce it and produce it. Now, with that said, the average profit on vitamin C is about 2,500%, whereas it is significantly lower when it's whole food and a human hand has to go out and collect the berry and come back laboriously, spend 2, 3, 4 days to dry it, make sure you're not killing it, cooking it, processing it anyway, and making a powder out of something that has a high amount of vitamin C in it. That's biologically friendly. The body says, oh, that's my buddy. I'm going to absorb that and utilize it and strengthen myself from it. The other one comes in and says, oh, my God, here comes the enemy again. Let's go attack it so it doesn't hurt my body here.
So where are we going with all of this? It seems to me that the food that I eat is grown locally, some of it in my yard, some of it grown in the yards of the local farmers at the farmers market. Am I missing something or am I getting what I need?
Well, you probably are missing something because if you go back to the Earth Summit, which is about 15 years ago, where they had the first, quote, serious meeting of all the leaders of the world, 180 leaders showed up there. They showed at that point with the top biological agricultural scientists that in the United States, we lost 85% of our soil within one century. Most of that happened in 50 years, subsequent to the Second World War.
Okay, so we accept that as a given. What then do we need to do to get what it sounds like you're telling me I'm missing in my diet?
You either have to go and get highly condensed, nutritious food, like these whole food supplements, or you have to eat the foods that have magnificently high levels of nutrients, things like sea vegetables, ocean vegetables. If you don't like the taste of them, take the pills, kelp, dulse, etc. Things like sprouts, little seeds of nuts, grains, seeds, and beans that you can get all over the world and literally germinate in jars in the middle of snowstorms. You don't require a garden. These produce, 10, 20, or 30 times more nutrition than the organic vegetable that you grow in your own garden. Number three, freshwater algae, things like chlorella, blue-green algae. These are supplementations that literally are phenomenally high. As an example, with blue-green algae, it's 54% protein. Nothing comes close to that. Green algae, chlorella, 52% protein. So these are the foods that we have to green into in the 21st century.
Okay, well, let's take a minute here and say that you're listening to Radio Curious, and we're listening to Brian R. Clement about his book called Supplements Exposed, The Truth They Don't Want You to Know About Vitamins, Minerals, and Their Effects on Your Health. I'm Barry Vogel. Brian, the kids down the street go to the local high school, and the kinds of things that I see them eating when they escape from school and go to what we call the fast food restaurants, you made reference to that, probably don't have much of what you're saying they should eat. They are not taught to cook their own food, identify their own food. Instead, they're taught trigonometry that doesn't taste very good, and I'm not sure provides them a useful knowledge as they grow into adulthood. Can you address that?
Well, sadly, the generation you're talking about were taught by their parents who were trained consumers. And in this nation of, quote, freedom, we are really no more than trained consumers and the best trained consumers on the planet Earth. And when we consume enough, we become addicted to the fats and we become addicted to the sugar. And these are void of any nutrition. As a matter of fact, what they do give you is large amounts of pesticides, fungicides, herbicides, preservatives, chemicals, antibiotics, and on the list goes. And we know for sure, sitting in the position we are, that this is the major causative reason why cancer is so high today. That now a brain cancer and leukemia are the second killers of children, only superseded by accidents. This is why at my institute, Hippocrates Health Institute, the sickest people today are below 35, not people above 65 anymore, people below 35. And they come to us with ungodly diseases that really didn't ever exist two, three, four generations ago at that age. And so what we have to do is wake up and realize you've been led by the nose down the wrong road, and you've got to become independent, not by just great attitude, but by changing those things in your life that are literally imprisoning you.
That's the question. How do you propose people make those changes and get out of prison?
Well, we have to first realize we have a problem.
Okay, so that's a given. Well, let's assume we've got the problem.
Okay, well, after that, we have to start to go to basics. We have to start to look at what most of the people in the world who live the longest eat like. And we go right to my colleague, Dr. Colin Campbell. And Dr. Campbell is the top nutritional scientist who's ever lived, no less, we're lucky enough, he's alive today. He was at Cornell University, and two times in his life sat in a position here in the United States where he told Americans what to eat. He was a big nutritional king, we should say. And problem with Dr. Campbell, he was an honest research scientist. So they sent him down to West Virginia where there were a lot of really hungry and starving people and said, look it, we've got to feed these folks. And, of course, the milk and the meat industry said, yeah, we can do that. You know, we have a lot of surplus stuff because Americans with their tax dollars subsidize us. So sent down the meat and the dairy, and he kept watching them and realized, no, they weren't starving anymore, but they were getting diseases they never had, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, cancers. And awakened, because he was a farm boy originally from the New England area, to what was happening. And went back here as the man who sat in the position of telling Americans what to eat and said to everyone, you've got to give up all meat, you've got to give up all dairy food. So read his work. It's undeniably the most important work ever in nutritional science, and it's called the China Study. Very readable now for everyone. It came out of a large scientific document to something very readable for the mainstream. You may want to read some of our books after 53 years of doing work with catastrophically ill people and people who are trying to prevent the premature aging process.
There's an assumption in there, Brian, that the people who want to change are willing to get the book and read it and integrate it into their diet. That doesn't help my high school kid friends down the street. Those are the next generation. Let's focus on them.
Well, what we may want to say with the high school kids is to look at DVDs and videos. They're two very important ones. As a matter of fact, you may be aware this summer, one of the most important documentaries ever aired came out, called Food, Inc. And Food, Inc. is revolutionary. I mean, you must see this. This is a homework I'm giving all the listeners today. And Food, Inc. exposes what's happening to the food and farming industry in this country and around the world today. You may also want to look at a film that came out early 1990s from a gentleman in Northern California called John Robbins. Wrote a wonderful book and had a documentary called Diet for a New America. And these two documentaries, anyone, even a youngster, can sit down and look at them. Certainly it's not only for youngsters, all of us can learn, and have a real, you know, experience where it may, hopefully with the intelligent, conscious people, shock them into wanting to change.
What role do you think that the bully pulpit, the Obama family, can play in this?
Well, I'm having lots of communication with the White House at this point. As a matter of fact, the Vice President's brother and I have had a couple of meetings. And what you're hearing on the media is not quite who these people are. They went in there with a very ambitious, large agenda that they wanted to organify the United States. They wanted to get us to become responsible for our health. You're not hearing this because you're hearing the cries from literally the insurance industry and the pharmaceutical industry, who's spending hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars to convince Americans not to take something that's good for them. And what they really want to do, the Obamas and the Bidens, is literally change the way that Americans think about food consumption and about our health care, about getting more fit, about taking responsibility, about eating food that is nourishing to us. They realize the big writing on the wall. This last so-called blip on the screen of a disaster economically is nothing, nothing at all compared to what happens if we don't fix our so-called healthcare system in this nation now. And if we don't fix it, we're not going to exist as the United States. It is very clear to any mathematician who knows basic math. You basically can't have 20% of the gross national product going on sickness. And by the way, that sickness industry doesn't help people in most cases. It hurts people in most cases.
So where do we go from here? You're suggesting that people read certain things. You're putting certain faith in the Obama administration that's being covered up by the corporate media that promotes food supplements that we don't need.
I think what we have to do is put faith in ourselves again. You know, what people don't realize, the epicenter of reality has nothing to do with any of them.
It has to do with each one of us. The world revolves around each of the 6.5 billion of us in the world, and that's why I grow my own food to some extent and get food grown by people that I know, but you're telling me that the soils have been depleted.
They've been grossly depleted.
So again, where do we go from here?
Again, those foods that I talked about, you need to emphasize. Edible weeds is an example. Most people listening are going to think this is odd. I'm going to tell you to eat weeds. I remember back in the days when I had time to do my organic garden, I used to be pulling the weeds out, and it was laborious, as you know, you garden, and throwing them away. Bottom line is a weed is 20 to 30, maybe even 40 times more nutritious than the vegetable we're planting in there. So things like weeds that nobody has to pay a cent for that are widely available for at least part of the year, in most places, and around the year in places that are a little bit warmer. There's one thing. There's a guy in New York City as an example. They call him the Weed Man. They used to arrest him. Finally, the park commissioner realized it was costing $30,000 or more a year to incarcerate him. So they hired him 10 or 15 years ago. Right in New York City, he does weed walks in Central Park and shows you if every store closed down, you don't have to starve. As a matter of fact, in Central Park, you can pick enough food to eat. Now, this may not be the route you want to go, but this shows you how independence.
Let's go there for a minute. Can you identify some of the weeds that we ought to eat?
Oh, sure. I mean, where you live and around this country, common weeds are plantain, and plantain looks like a big green tongue. Purslane. Purslane has an extraordinary amount of protein and essential fatty acids in it. Lamb's quarter. And the good news is if you go to your local library or your local bookstore, they have weed books with photographs, so you don't pick the wrong thing, that shows you weeds of the Northwest and weeds of the Southeast. And wherever you are in the world, they have weed books. And it's a really good way to connect with nature again. And they're all over the place. Obviously, the only weeds you do not want are the ones that are having pesticides put on them by your local lawn keeping services.
Well, Brian Clement, author of Supplements Exposed, The Truth They Don't Want You to Know About Vitamins, Minerals, and Their Effects on Your Health, thanks for being with us on Radio Curious. And before we close, the two questions. One, can you tell us about an idea or concept that you've learned recently that you want to share?
Yes, the most important thing I've learned myself recently is that people lack compassion for self. And if we have compassion for self, it deepens our ability to be sensitive to others, to be sensitive to this world that we sit on. So when I'm out there teaching globally now, the first and foremost thing I speak about is self-compassion. And it's hard. We've got to resolve a lot of the issues that block us from loving and respecting and honoring our lives. Number two, this is a book that I normally wouldn't be talking about, but it was really stunning to me. Somebody handed me the book as I was getting on a plane flying to Europe for an 8-country lecture tour, and I said, I'm not sure I'm going to read it. And it's called The New Gold Standard. And it was about a guy went in and investigated the Ritz-Carlton. Now, this is why when I saw the Ritz-Carlton on it, I said, I'm not going to be interested. I was shocked at the profanity of the Ritz-Carlton and how conscious that company is. As a matter of fact, they call all their employees the ladies and gentlemen of the Ritz-Carlton. Do you know what their whole motto is? Number one, serve the employee. Serve the person. Serve the employee. Empower the employee. Make the employee understand she or he is the center of the universe, that they are capable. And trust the employee. Train them and trust them. So that's a good book on consciousness, by the way. Even though it's under the business books, The New Gold Standard about the Ritz-Carlton is one of the most eye-opening books I've ever read in all of my years of reading.
Well, Brian Clement, thanks for being with us on Radio Curious.
Be well. Thanks for having me.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
Brian R. Clement is the author of Supplements Exposed, The Truth They Don't Want You to Know About Vitamins, Minerals, and Their Effect on Your Health. The book that Brian R. Clement recommends is The New Gold Standard by Joseph Michelli. This program was recorded on November 9th, 2009. Copies of this and other editions of Radio Curious are available on our website, which is www.radiocurious.org. You can also subscribe to the Radio Curious podcast by clicking on our website. Our programs are also available in CD format. To get a copy, visit our website, radiocurious.org, for further details. And at Radio Curious, we appreciate your thoughts and ideas about our programming and do enjoy hearing from you. Our address is Post Office Box 7, Ukiah, that's UKIAH, California, 95482. Our email address is curious@radiocurious.org, and the phone number is 707-462-6541. You've been listening to Radio Curious. I'm Barry Vogel. Thank you for joining us.